Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
I'm Anne-Marie Russell. I am a high school English teacher, former college professor, writing instructor, singer-songwriter. I would say that my vocation is helping people find and tell their stories. I've been coming to Holden since I was a child. I think 1983 was my first summer here with my family. And we came pretty much every summer growing up. My dad was on teaching staff. I've been on teaching staff, and so I'm grateful to bring my own family and come back.
And I'm Eric Samuelson. I'm a Lutheran pastor and coach and teacher of spiritual practices. I've been coming to Holden since I was a kid. For a season, it was mostly in the winter, and so we're kind of back to being summer Holden people again. My second time on teaching staff, I taught with Anne-Marie previously, and we taught together at Trinity Lutheran College in Everett, Washington, where a lot of these practices that we have taught these last two summers have come.
We are teaching and practicing a Quaker discernment practice called the Clearness Committee, and it is a practice that is rooted in the Quaker tradition that we used with our students at Trinity Lutheran College, coming out of the work of Parker Palmer, who's a Quaker and Christian writer and a really deep thinker and kind of an expert in the field of clearness. The process is rooted in silence and reflection and the spirit sort of moving among people, and so we led a session on Tuesday where we broke down kind of the proto-practices of the larger practice, silence, listening, waiting for questions to bubble up, shared some experiences about Quaker Clearness Committee that we had done together this winter for my husband and I, and just kind of gave everybody a foundation. And then our session two and three, we're actually practicing the Clearness Committee together.
And one of the things I think is interesting and why we started this way is that the things you need in order to do this kind of discernment well are not, they're kind of countercultural, they're not part of our normal everyday. So silence, really deeply listening to someone else's story, cultivating space for the spirit to emerge, and listening and recognizing when the spirit's speaking to you and the spirit's speaking to somebody else. That's what we really sort of grounded and started with. And we learned, in addition to Parker Palmer's work, we wrote a grant at Trinity and were trained by Callie Keith Perry, who's a traveling minister in the Quaker tradition. And one of the things I always remember from that training was he said, you know, this is just the way Quakers worship, the way we live our lives. So they have embodied these practices of silence, this practice of listening. And so it's really interesting. We sort of have to prime the pump for us and for people that aren't from that tradition to even kind of get into that space where this discernment can happen.
I think we've had a really nice week with this. I think that Holden is a really cool place to sort of try out these practices. People who have come to the session seem really willing to kind of engage and be all in, and just something about the nature of Holden being separate and apart, so it kind of creates that space naturally.
Yeah, and it's a place of listening too, and a place where people are, I think, open to the spirit. So it's kind of a good place to learn how to do this. The fruit, a lot of times, I think, comes in daily life. We found that at the college. Like we teach our students this, we train faculty, we did various sort of workshops on this clearness practice, but it came out in interesting ways just in our daily life. It really became like a culture shift thing. So people were listening better to each other. They were willing to say, what is God up to here? And what might this person's question be God's voice for me, and maybe I can consider that. It just cracks open some new and interesting things. We did something interesting in the first session that we haven't done before, which was practicing silence. And the first time we just had people sit for 6 minutes in silence and without a lot of explanation and then debriefed. How was that? Was it comfortable? Was it uncomfortable? What happened there? And then we did a little bit more and we had them share with a neighbor something that they're carrying, a burden or a question or something. And then we sat in 6 minutes again, but asked them to hold the space for the other person's challenge or question. And it was really, they had some interesting differences between those two types of silence. One that was a little harder and more awkward, but there's something different about holding intentionally that space for the other.
And some people said that that was harder for them because they felt a big obligation to that felt like a big responsibility or obligation. Yeah. Some people said it was easier because it was helpful to kind of have something specific to be holding or thinking about. I think that the purpose of that process in the clearance committee is to sort of sit with something without having to fix it or find an answer to it. And then the hope is that some kind of questions bubble up inside of a person as they're holding that space, that then they can ask the focus person, the person who's come and told their story. Because it's not about, so clearness isn't about telling someone what to do. It's not even about helping them figure it out. It's about opening up this space so that they can do the work they need to do themselves.
And I think practicing trusting your own voice and to part of it, we say listening to the inner teacher or listening to the voice of the spirit or listening to the indwelling Trinity, that God's speaking within us. And we're just not always tuned into that. We're not always listening to it. And so it's kind of a practice of just, what does that feel like? What does that look like? How do we do that and learn to trust that for this particular issue? But really, it's a life practice of maybe we can listen to God in our daily life. Could that be a thing that guides us? And how could the community come around and support us? I think so often we do that individually. And we're just on our own with a problem or a couple or a family. But there's something really powerful when the community comes around you, not to fix it, but just to hold space with you and help you listen to yourself and
Well, and that's an interesting segue to the theme of the summer, Unity of Love, because we didn't necessarily write this class with that in the forefront, but that's essentially there is a unity of heart and mind and spirit that happens. And when you come around someone to help them in the clearness process, you're doing it out of deep love for them and a desire for them to find clearness and find the right answer for themselves. And so I think there's a lot of unity in that silence because everyone's holding the same issue or the same question, bringing it forth.
Yeah, and it really creates community in an interesting way. And one of the things I learned working with students and have since seen more is that so often we hide our pain and we hide our hard stories and we hide our struggles, but that's actually where we connect a lot of the time. And so when we're willing to bear those wounds in a space that is full of love and surrounded like that, the unity can come. So it's sharing our woundedness in a space where love is, that's really what brings it all together. And I think we experienced that in the sessions where people are, something was different about the group afterwards and about the relationships that emerged out of that space.
And Holden is a unique place because typically in a clearness committee, the person who was bringing the question would gather the people. They would handpick the people. So here we are at Holden, where that wasn't happening, and yet the desire to kind of enter into that from the people that came to the session was really powerful and really safe and really beautiful.
And we decided to try it. We had a huge group. Usually this is 6 to 12 people. We had, 30 people?
29
people in the circle, which felt like a lot. But part of this is learning to trust the spirit and just saying, Holden is a place that holds this kind of space. And so we think it'll work. And sure enough, it did.
And not wanting to exclude anyone, but to have everybody in the room feel like they could be sharing in that process.
Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.